Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Business Class podcast with the Tourism Academy, tourismacademy.org. The joy of my life is learning. And being a lifelong learner, I get to meet interesting people and travel all over the world. And today's guest, Dr. Robert Donato with Broward College, the Assistant Professor of Hospitality and Tourism and the Hospitality Program Manager, is joining me. It's almost a full circle moment for me.
Is it?
Almost. You know, I was just mentioning to you before we started recording that I sold my house in Broward County.
Yeah.
And I've been traveling as a digital nomad. And just last week, I was talking to Stacy Ritter with the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yes.
And now I'm talking to you. So I'm
you feel like
I'm all in with Broward context. It does. It really does. Did you grow up in Broward?
No, I'm originally from New York. So Long Island in New York City area. And then I moved here. Well, I moved here twice. So it goes to show how much I like it here. So I moved here first about, 15 years ago now. And then I moved back to New York for work. And then I came back about 10 years now.
What do you love about where you are and what that allows you to do with your current job?
Well, you know, it's still in the realm, the field of hospitality. I spent my whole career in some form, facet of hospitality. Mainly in hotels and restaurants. And this is just, to me, I see it as an extension of that because I get to share my knowledge with others. And what I realized, you know, years before I started teaching, or maybe just when I started teaching, a client of mine in New York asked something to where my response was, I want to be able, whatever I do, I want to be able to affect change. And I realize now that the best way that I can affect change in this industry is by teaching it, because I have a greater reach than I would working in any one place.
What do you think is the most common misconception about hospitality and tourism?
That it's like a Mickey Mouse kind of an organ, like a kind of a business, a Mickey Mouse industry, meaning not, no offense to Mickey and Disney. But what I mean is people don't take it seriously. Or many years ago when I started, for example, my first general manager said that he was a general manager for 30 years, but his mother kept on saying, so when are you going to go get a real job? So I think the biggest misconception is that you can't have from a financial perspective or from a fulfilling perspective, that you can't have that in hospitality because, you know, we have this stigma of being low wages and long hours and low wages. But, you know, I spent my career in this and, you know, I know firsthand what that means. And I'm a testament to what a wonderful life you could have in this business.
What has been your greatest day at work?
Wow, that's a tough one. You know, operationally, I think it's that anything that I don't have a specific greatest day at work. I think that there were milestones. One of my goals, for example, was I'm a food and beverage person. So I'm like a foodie, even though I'm a vegetarian now, but I'm still a foodie. And I worked in food and beverage for many, many years. And my goal was at one point to be a food and beverage director. So if you think about in that context, I would say the day I held that position for the first time is very surreal for me. And here in teaching, I think I've been teaching for about 11 years now. And I think that every day is special. And I sincerely mean that. I think it every day unravels it, reveals itself to be something unique with interacting with students. And I think the greatest or most memorable thing here is working with, you know, once we began working with the Motwani Foundation, I think the opportunities, the energy, the sheer vision is, it's exciting to be at work every day.
Tell us a little bit more about the foundation and how you came to be involved with them.
The official name of our school is the R. Motwani Family Academy of Hospitality and Tourism Management. It started a few years ago and worked with Ramola and her family and the school to kind of put into place our goals for the organization. And it's been fantastic. They ultimately, what they do is they bring exposure to our program. They bring sponsorships. They bring opportunities for our students that they wouldn't ordinarily have had to do more things than we might ordinarily be constrained by, like budgetary. Ramola Motwani has been a visionary regarding this. This, of course, is her academy, and she's been a visionary. And what we do is work very well together to try to bring new opportunities to our students. Really, the end goal is that the students have gained the knowledge they need to be successful in this industry, and that they're placed or have job opportunities available to them when they're ready. What sets us apart from another hospitality school in the area is all the different opportunities that we have for our students, the programs that we have. I would almost call them like extracurricular in that sense, in the sense that it's not part of the syllabus, right? Is things like networking events and volunteer events that they are allowed to be part of. Job shadowing, call a day in the life program where a student spends a whole day with the executives of a hotel, which is basically an 8-hour interview. Their mentorship programs. So we're always trying to enrich the program with things, with not only just the basic academic related things, but the actual life skills, job skills, networking opportunities. Exposure is the name of the game for that. You know, we want to expose our students to as many different, to all the different things in the industry, the jobs that they could have, the opportunities that exist out there, and then, of course, exposure for the program, which also then adds to our credibility for getting jobs in the industry.
Walk me through the decision that you made to leave operations and go into education.
Every day I joke and say, I don't know, I still don't know how I got here, because it really wasn't on my radar. It was anything I wanted to do more than maybe, and this is how it happened, than to just try it out. That one of the HR directors that I work with suggested to me that I might help her do training and I said, well, no, I'm so busy with my own department, I don't have time to help train HR stuff. And then on another conversation, she said, have you ever thought of teaching? And I said, well, I thought maybe I might want to try, like, just to teach a class, you know, just to try it. And her response was, well, my friend is opening a hotel school. You want me to call him? And I'm like, okay. And so she called and I was interviewed, and I did like a guest speaker thing twice. And on the third time he emails me, this was over a couple of months. The third time would have been the third visit, the third email I get from him. He says, can you come in X, whatever date it was? It was a scheduling conflict. And he wrote, well, classes begin that week. No, you have to be here. And so I forwarded the email to the HR director. I said, did he just give me a job? And that's how I wound up doing it. And quite honestly, from the first day I started teaching at that school, I was in New York at the Institute of Culinary Education. It just is so natural for me. It's like a warm and fuzzy feeling every day. I love teaching about this industry because I love the industry.
What do you think it takes to be a good teacher?
Well, I personally think that it's important to have practical experience under your belt. You have to be able to relate to students how the theory applies in real life. And whether they believe you or not, it's one thing. But, you know, when they come back and say, oh, man, everything you said was true, I can't even believe it was true, but it is true, then I think it's important that you have practical knowledge to share with them. And a true, you know, caring to see them, improve. If you ask most professors, I think, I'm sure you've heard of that light bulb moment. We're all waiting for that light bulb moment. So the idea of trying to get to make the connection, see the students grow, I think is very important. But practical knowledge, aside from actual degrees and all, I think is very helpful. There are people in life that are natural teachers that love to share their experience with others. And that could be anybody, because we could learn from everybody, right? So there's certain people that are natural teachers. When the dean of that school of ICE, the Institute of Culinary Education, when he interviewed me, that's what basically he told me. He looked at my resume and he said, okay, you have the experience, you have the knowledge of the job, but that doesn't mean you're going to be a good teacher. That's exactly what he told me. He said, there are a lot of people that know a lot and can't teach anything. He said, so I'll give you a try and you'll see how you do. So it's a matter of having the experience and then being able to relate that information in a way that people can easily understand it. So you can't, you know, that's probably the second most important thing is the knowledge and then being able to explain it in a way that they get it.
Where would you like to see the industry in 10 years?
Well, I would like to see it continue to grow. I think that there's still some COVID lag. I mean, whether that be on the operations side, I don't know that it's so much on the tourist side anymore, but totally pick back even with any labor shortages that exist pre-COVID levels. Always looking at things in multiple ways. So from an operations standpoint, I think that's the answer. I think that, you know, we'd want it to be where we have where we have employees recognize that this industry is a place to be and where they can thrive and have a successful and fulfilling career. And on the other side, I just welcome our tourists back. They are still talking about pent-up demand and travel. And they said that last year, it was really like a focused on the United States, like this pent-up demand. People were traveling nationally. And now it's a spread to Europe. So Europe's getting a boost from this pent-up demand. So I think that overall, I'd like to see sustained growth. And from an operation standpoint, that people recognize what a great industry this is.
Why is it important for you to participate in programs like this podcast and others?
Well, it's about getting the message out there from Broward College that we have this amazing program that exists. The program has been around, the hospitality degree program has been around for many years, decades. But the partnership with the Motwani family is new and it's exciting. It's important that, you know, education takes time and it takes money and commitment. And so I want to get the message out there that we have a program that has an amazing curriculum that is, well, of course, well-priced because we're a state community college. And we do so much more than just give you your degree. We follow you all the way through. We ensure that there are enriching activities. We're working with you to make sure that you have job opportunities. So it's important for me that the public is aware of that. Anybody considering this industry, that we welcome you and that it would not be a bad decision, I think, to consider hospitality as your future career, especially if you like serving others.
So personally or professionally, what is something you normally take for granted?
Well, the one thing that comes to mind is that everybody thinks like I do, or everybody has the same work ethic as I do. And I think that that's probably common, right? We kind of like are a bit myopic when it comes to that. And it's also learning, because it's also managing your own expectations. And you have to be able to do that to work with others as well.
Tell me about your earliest experience as a traveler.
Well, my mom is from Europe. I must have been 4 when I first stepped on a plane to go to Europe. So I've been traveling my whole life, basically. The first ever time that I recall, I was probably 8 and I was going to Europe. And yeah, it was a different time then, right? So it was a little bit more dressy, a little bit more formal. Even me as a kid, I still remember dressing up to, or at least that was the way my mom had us do. We were dressed up to go to get on a plane. And I remember smoking on, not me smoking on the plane at 8 years old, but smoking on the plane. And, the freedom of travel there. Remember, there was no security. You know, we didn't have security like we have now the last 20 years. So that was a bit different. You could meet people at the gate that you can't do that anymore. And the world was a little bit larger then because people weren't as connected, of course, because of the internet. The traveler was much different than they are today. But it was exciting. It was exciting.
What do you think today's traveler is looking for that's different than the traveler of, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago?
I think, well, two things. One is always this this personalized service. This personalized experience is something that is key to winning over travelers. Is how can an organization make their experience feel as if it were tailored to them? That's number one. And number two, they're more savvy. Travelers today are much more savvy than they were 30, 40 years ago because of social media. So their expectations are a lot higher than they were back then. In addition to being savvy because of what other people see, what they see other people doing on social media, what they're exposed to, because of globalization, there's a lot more melding of cultures here in our local communities. And they've experienced cultural norms of other cultures right here at home without even having to travel. So all of that together, between social media, between their personal experiences here, because of the influx or international flavor, especially here in South Florida, that makes it that their expectations are higher than they used to be years ago.
I would be really upset if I had to go to Thailand every time I want Thai food.
Right. That would be expensive, wouldn't it?
It would be expensive, but, you know, frankly, I think it'd probably be worth it.
It'd probably be more fun, too.
It would be one heck of an adventure, for sure. I mentioned to you before we got started that I'm a digital nomad.
Yes, I'm jealous.
I have been traveling for almost 2 years, nonstop.
So jealous.
What questions do you have for me?
What's the downside for you?
The downside being that I don't have that one place to call mine. But at the same time, the place that I call mine goes everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
That had been, you know, something to grapple with. Another thing that really struck me as more challenging than I thought it would be is actually planning where to stay.
Is that right?
Well, you think of it this way, you know, you have Expedia and hotels.com and all these things, and you can go online and find every available room in a destination with the pricing and whatnot, you know, in seconds.
Yeah.
Try to do that with campgrounds, RV parks, and national parks.
You're right, right.
Every one of them is in their own silo, and you know, they don't speak a common language. And that, I think, is unfortunate for that industry and unfortunate for the travelers like me. It's also in some ways a bit of a blessing, because when I first started traveling, I would plan 2-3 months in advance. I would wake up knowing I have to go somewhere today, or knowing I have to go somewhere tomorrow, or, you know, there was a level of anxiety and expectation,
right,
about that. I just don't do that anymore.
That's great.
I was at a conference in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. As late as Thursday afternoon, I had no idea where I was going to go Friday.
Wow.
The benefit of that is being more present.
So when you do you have an RV, or do you, how do you travel?
I do.
Okay,
yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, I my neighbor had bought an RV, a van, 21-foot van, Sprinter, just before COVID, and he had never spent a night in it.
Wow.
So a year and a half into COVID, I was selling my house, and I asked him if I could rent it for a couple months and just take a road trip. You know, he'd never used it. He was very kind and offered to sell it to me for what he had left on his loan. And 2 years later, I'm still traveling in an RV with a dog.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And, you know, I've met some incredible people and learned some great stories. You know, I've spent time on Native American reservations. I've, you know, hatched and released turtles at the beach. I've pet or touched whales in the wild. Wow. You know, I've been able to, you know, have fish tacos that were caught 20 minutes before and cooked on the beach, you know, by a local family. And like, yeah, just that kind of stuff that, you know, we don't get to experience when we travel so much for work.
Right. Yeah. Because there's an agenda.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's an agenda. There's somewhere to be. And frankly, when I had to travel over 100 nights a year for work, I just wanted to be home.
Right.
Now I schedule my week so that I have time to be a tourist.
Your current experience coupled with your past experience, how does this nomad experience and what you've experienced inform your perspective of hospitality now? What would you tell the class about that?
You know, one of the things that we do constantly is help communities explain to their stakeholders and residents what the value and the impact of tourism is.
Sure.
And the traditional model of a heads in beds for a DMO, you know, certainly rings true to some degree. But to see I see a much greater impact on individuals and families and throughout communities now that I am a solo traveler in a smaller way.
Right.
You know, I'm not always staying at the Hilton. I miss my points, but I get to stay at a ranch.
Sure.
You know, or an ecological reserve, or, you know, which in many ways is like staying with families. There, that impact of tourism is far more tactile.
Right.
Than even, you know, driving down A1A, you know, surrounded by hotels and condos on every side of you, you know, you see it, but you don't feel it.
Right.
In the same way.
Right. Because you don't have that in one-on-one contact with an individual. Mm-hmm. Necessarily driving down A1A where you would at a campground, or that's very true.
From a tourism development perspective, I think that it helps me to explain to large organizations what they have to do to create those small intimate experiences.
Sure.
And that's part of why we offer the training and when we build the training programs that we build that reach entire communities.
Right.
Because, you know, the person who's working second shift at the hotel and the volunteer who has some time on a Saturday morning, they all have a part to play.
Right. And, you know, and it goes, as you said before, about creating that experience. That's that part of how do we make each person have an amazing or visit, stay wherever they're going. And know, understanding the customer and then understanding the product or service that we have to offer and that we want them to experience at wherever that is. I think it takes an effort on the part of the business to identify that, not for financial, for direct financial reasons, but for, you know, understanding the guest, the customer behavior, and understanding, you know, what is it that we have to offer on a more personal level? Because, you know, people will spend what they'll spend on vacation, but no matter what they spend, the dollar amount, no matter what they spend, they still want a great experience. So.
And I think that's one of the big changes that we've seen in the industry over the last couple of years is that destination marketers and tourism product providers and suppliers are more responsive to the needs of their community. Mm-hmm. They recognize better their role as stewards. And there's been a recognition that what's good for the resident is good for the traveler. Mm-hmm. Even though the reverse is not always true.
Right. Well, that's true.
And, you know, that shift from volume travel to intimate travel, mm-hmm. I think is one that delivers volume, of course, in the long run, but it delivers experiences.
Do you think that shift has to be created, or is it more sort of organic? And the shift, is it more organic, or is it something that can be done to, is it beneficial to change? Is it something that's uncontrollable? It just happens? Or how do you see it?
I think particularly destinations had to make that shift when COVID happened. Mm-hmm. They could no longer support their hotels and restaurants by reaching out to people who were more than 50 miles away.
Right.
When the only people who could order food, or the only people who could go to a museum, even at limited capacity, were the ones that were already in the town.
Right. Yeah.
And that forced a lot of organizations to listen more closely to that resident stakeholder.
Right.
It's impossible for all of your product suppliers, your hotels, your restaurants, your transportation, your activities, it's impossible for them to not notice.
Right.
Now, you're still going to have, you know, you're still going to have the hotel that is heads and beds, room nights, ADR. You know, that's still going to be there. But I think in the greater scheme of things, you know, that sales for the sake of sales mentality is fading.
Right. And there has to be something greater, a greater goal, a greater vision, and also being a good, as you say, a steward. That's, you know, social responsibility. Being a
right.
community member, a business is a community member, and they have to consider all their stakeholders, not just, you know, the people paying them to stay in the
exactly.
home. Yeah. I'm glad that we touched on the foundation and Broward College. So if you want more information about the hospitality program at Broward College, you can visit our website, broward.edu. And look under academic programs in the hospitality and tourism management program. If you'd like to contact me directly, feel free. My email is rdonato, D-O-N-A-T-O, at broward.edu. And I thank you very much, Stephen, for inviting me and for the lovely conversation.
Thanks so much. Enjoy your day.
Thanks so much. You too.